KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 8:02. Options for health insurance coverage can be limited in Alaska for commercial fishermen, a major segment of the state's economy. KFSK's Matt Lichtenstein reports, according to a 2009 study by the Small Business Majority, 32% of Alaska fishermen were not covered. Many fishermen depend on coverage from another job or their spouse's group insurance, but some policies exclude work-related injuries for a self-employed person. Furthermore, fishermen in Alaska are not covered under workers' compensation law. The Obama administration's Affordable Care Act of 2010 did not include a public or government-funded option. However, starting in January, it will prohibit insurance companies from denying coverage for pre-existing conditions. According to the Small Business Majority, that's an idea 84% of Alaska fishermen agreed with. The new federal law will also help subsidize the cost of private insurance depending on income, but the rates are expected to continue increasing. UFA Executive Director Julianne Curry, who worked as an uninsured fisherman, says these insurance barriers hinder business development.
I think it's a barrier to growing Alaska's small business base through the commercial fishing industry.
Curry also says lack of insurance forces fishermen to make tough decisions when health care is needed.
And I know that there's a lot of people in the fishing industry that have to make the choice between being able to afford health care or being able to afford their boat payment and their gear payments and their house payment.
Fishermen hurt on the job can apply for aid through the Alaska Fishermen's Fund, which can pay up to $10,000 per claim. Over the last few years, only about 11% of applicants had health insurance. The Haines Borough in southeast Alaska passed a vote to amend their town charter. The measure passed by 57-43%. It changed the preamble in Haines' charter to specify that corporations and other artificial entities are not entitled to the same rights as people. Gershon Cohen, the co-director of the group We the People Haines, says the amendment was not a referendum on whether corporations should be allowed, only their legal status.
It's really not an issue of whether or not corporations should exist or can make a profit. This is about whether or not they should be able to function with rights as opposed to privileges. That's really the question.
Haines is hardly a legal test case. Other towns and cities in the U.S., some as large as Pittsburgh, have passed similar measures. At this point, the amendment in Haines is purely symbolic. It has no effect on pending legal or governmental disputes. But as Cohen says, it's a framework to guide the town's future governmental processes.
It is, frankly, mostly symbolic because the rights enumerated by the borough are few. However, it does tell the borough assembly where the people of the community believe that, we should be going in terms of how we behave as a community and how we run our community. That all comes down to the democratic process.
Much of the activism against corporate personhood in the last few years has centered on multinational conglomerates like Walmart, Monsanto, and Coca-Cola. But in Alaska, Native and regional corporations have been one of the most effective ways for Alaska Native communities to organize in the last few decades. David Berry Jr. is a tribal administrator with the Chilkoot Indian Association in Haines. He says the group opposed the charter amendment over worries about its potential to undo gains made in the Native community.
You know, they fear, okay? We live in an area that is different now, but 50, 60 years ago, this area was very volatile towards Natives, and they don't want anything to jeopardize the accomplishments we've made in the last 50, 60 years. They don't want an opportunity to be lost because the classification of the tribe is different under the borough charter.
Berry says that corporate organization has been and will continue to be vital to the Chilkoot community's successes.
You know, there's the for-profit Angsica corporations that have been extremely, extremely beneficial to its members or shareholders, and they've created quite a power base for themselves. And the tribes are a little slower doing that, but we are getting to the point now where we're creating our own destiny, so to speak. And any attack to deny us the right to create our own destiny really doesn't sit well with our membership.
Haines is a long way from Western Alaska, and it's hard to say how the vote there will affect the region, if at all. Neither Melanie Banky of Kowarik or Matt Ganley of Bering Straits Native Corporation felt comfortable forecasting how the Haines vote might affect regional corporations. And at this point, both for-profit and non-profit corporate entities only have hypothetical scenarios what it might mean. Gershon Cohen insisted that the Haines Amendment was not meant to challenge the status of tribal groups in Alaska, but in a state with energy companies, native regional groups, tribal associations, labor unions, and multinational firms, there's a lot of gray area. And the Alaska Federation of Natives needs you. Organizers for the annual AFN convention and the Elders and Youth Conference in Fairbanks are seeking 616 volunteers to help out from October 21st to the 26th. Volunteers are needed for a variety of activities, from stuffing bags to greeting people at the airport to serving at the potlatch. AFN is the largest gathering of Alaska Natives annually in the state. It's been held in Anchorage for the past few years before returning to Fairbanks this year. To volunteer, contact Charity Gadapi at 907-459-3758. And this year saw the second most valuable salmon harvest on record in Alaska. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says in a release that the harvest was valued at $691 million, second only to the 1988 harvest of $724 million. The pink salmon harvest set a record with 219 million fish caught, leading to a record for all salmon caught at 272 million fish. The state also reports that Bristol Bay, perennially the most valuable fishery in the state, fell to third place this year. Southeast Alaska led with the all-species harvest value at $219 million. Second was Prince William Sound at $162 million. Bristol Bay was third at $140 million. And a look at the price of gold this morning, down $20.70 an ounce to $1,266.70. An ounce of silver at $21.32, down 46 cents. It's currently 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.